This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. My name is Rich Adarosa. I'm the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, right up against the Lake Okeechobee. Hallelujah. And we've been in the ministry, Barbara and I, my wife, for more than 30 years. And we pastor a church that has a heart for the hurting and for ministering to the needs of our community. So, if you got your Bibles today, I'd like to start teaching about the body of Christ. And I want to talk to you about some insights and some things that I think are important for us to look at. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, we thank you that as Jesus taught the word, the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal. And so, Father, we thank you that through the anointing that's on the word of God, that there will be healing, signs, wonders, miracles to be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And so, Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor belongs to you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We're going to actually begin in verse 5. And I want to share with you some information about the body of Christ. Now, we know that if somebody said, well, what's the body of Richard Adarosa? They'd point to me and say, that's the body of Richard Adarosa. And certainly when Jesus walked the earth, they could point to Jesus and say, that's the body of Jesus of Nazareth. Now we know that Jesus was the Christ, and the Gospel of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And so Christ took on a flesh and bone body, and that person, Jesus, walked the earth. And so Jesus was the body of Christ back during this time. Well, we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we know from the book of Ephesians that the Word of God says that he's the head of the body. And we know that in order for a body to function, the head has to be attached to it. Amen. And so we get all of our direction from the right hand of the Father, and he works in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like he did when he was here and walked the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus. The book of Colossians tells us that he was the representation of the Godhead fully. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. You and I have the Spirit by measure. And so if you found the book of Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to begin in verse 5, New King James. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, talking about Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Now, the body that was prepared for Jesus was the body that was put around, as you might say, was the body that was the tent that was prepared for him in the womb of Mary. Mary said, when the angel spoke to her, she said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And so when she received the word, when the word was planted in the womb of Mary, what happened is that word became flesh and dwelt among us. The very presence of God in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, the presence of God was in the tabernacle. And so just as Jesus had the Spirit of God, and Christ took on that form of a body, his name was Jesus, just like you and I have the Spirit, the Holy Ghost on the inside, because we're made fit temples, where Paul said, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, we can also see that the body of Christ has the corporate anointing of the Spirit. And so, a sacrifice, an offering, God did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And he says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I say, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus needed his body to do the will of God on the earth. Jesus had to identify with us. He certainly identified with us in spirit, soul, and body. And then finally, he identified with our sin condition when he became sin for us who knew no sin, that the righteousness of God would be made. And so we see here that the purpose of his having a body prepared was to do the will of God. Amen. Verse number 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, talking about the new covenant. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. No more, because of Jesus, does man have to enter into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice. But Jesus has made the ultimate sacrifice, and he has taken his blood, that precious blood, which this says in the book of Leviticus, the life is in the blood. Jesus took that precious life, that precious blood, and put it on the mercy seat of God. And in that place, sin was no longer just covered, but it was remitted. Hallelujah. I like to say it this way. The blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat of God, and it'll never clot. You know, when your blood is exposed to the air, things begin to happen that will cause your skin to begin healing itself and scab over. When Jesus brought his blood, I believe, into the Holy of Holies of heaven, of which the Old Testament was a type and shadow of the real. When Jesus brought his blood up into the Holy of Holies of heaven, that blood is still alive today. That blood is still cleansing all unrighteousness from men and women, from time past to a time eternity. Now, there's been a number of scholars that have gotten all tied up in knots with Psalm chapter 40. Because this is a reference that you'll find in most Bibles that Paul was referring to when he wrote. I want to read that to you, but I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor have you delight in them. That sounds familiar, doesn't it, to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 6. But he says, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor have you delight in them. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey your law, a more valuable service than burnt offerings and sin offerings, which you do not require. Then said I, behold, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Now, in the actual King James Version, it talks about having his ears opened. In fact, I think we need to just spend a minute and go there. I'm going to turn now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 40, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 8. Verse 6 of Psalm 40 says this, sacrifice and desire you did not desire, or sacrifice and offering you did not desire. He said, my ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Now, why would that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense, my ears you have opened. Well, as I began to study, I understood that in the Old Testament, and even in the times of the New Testament, that after a certain period of time, 7 years or the year of Jubilee, that many slaves were freed. The slaves that had served their masters were eventually freed. But many slaves, because of how well they were treated by their masters, by their owners, or you might say by their employers. We're so happy with the life that the master of that place had given them, they wanted to stay and they didn't want to flee. And so it was customary that they would take their ear and put it up against a doorpost and take an awl and basically strike it with a hammer and pierce the ear of the servant. And having done that, that was an indication that that servant had decided to follow and live with and continue with their master or their employer, the one whom they had reported to and responded to for all those years. And so through that understanding, we can see how they had basically given their body over for service to the master. It all ties into being willing to do what God has for you to do. Jesus says, as he speaks through the writer of Hebrews, a body was prepared for him. And that body that was prepared for him was prepared for him for the purpose of his doing the will of God. Your body has been fashioned and prepared for you to do the will of God. I tell people all the time who are dealing with sickness and disease and trying to get their thinking straightened out, because many religious people will tell you, well, you know, that's because you sinned, or that's, you know, that God's trying to teach you something. Of course, there's no scripture reference for that. And even the man that was born blind, when his disciples said, Jesus, did this man or do it, or did his parents sin? Jesus said neither. But that the glory, that you might see the glory of God, or that the glory of God will be manifest in him. And what did Jesus do? He didn't say, okay, now go away and create some fruit in your life, and because all that suffering is going to cause you to be a better Christian. No, he healed him. God is glorified in the healing of bodies. But the body was given for the purpose of them doing the will of God. That's the reason why the body of Christ is given in the earth, to do the will of God, whose head is Jesus, whose head is seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Just as a body was prepared for the Christ, a body has been prepared, which is called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which he is the head. What are we trying to say here today? What's the point of this message? Well, the point of this message is very simple. When Jesus entered into the world, he took on a physical body that was prepared for him. And it's through his physical body that Jesus demonstrated the love of God clearly, tangibly, and bodily, as well as boldly, especially through the work on the cross. After he was ascended, he continues to work in the world through those who he has redeemed, the church, which is the body of Christ. And this body that has been prepared for Jesus, the body of Christ, which has been prepared for Jesus to inhabit, to go about, and to do the works and will of the Father. The Christ. I remember Kenneth Copeland taught on this many, many years ago. He said, when you see the word Christ in the New Testament, you should replace the word Christ with the anointed one and his anointing. The body of Christ is the body of the anointed one and his anointing. The body of Christ has a plan and purpose ordained of God to represent and be the anointed one and his anointing, led by the anointed one and his anointing. Hallelujah. And so it's the church that's called the body of Christ. And there's 10 things that I want to share with you, and We won't have time to go and look at every one of the scriptures, but I guarantee you that if you do this, you'll be very blessed. Because in understanding the church and its analogy to the body, God has prepared a body. Now, think about it. You individually have a body and Christ is in you. So in a sense, we could say that you are the body of Christ. And then we look at the local church where we have a group of believers and these believers are knit together in Christ. And that local body of believers is also called the body of Christ. And then if you take all the churches in your town that are born again and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, you have a larger group of believers in that town that is called the body of Christ. And then you have all of the churches that all roll up into the state, and they in that state are the body of Christ. For me, they would be the body of Christ in Florida. And then you would take all of the body of Christ in the 50 states, and they would be the body of Christ in America. And then we would have all of that in Canada and South America, and we'd have the body of Christ of North and South America. And you can see where I'm going here. And as the body of Christ on the individual level, the local level, the state level, and the global body of Christ is a body, hallelujah, that has been prepared for Jesus. A body prepared for Jesus to go about and do the works of God. Hallelujah. And everything that the body of Christ, Jesus, did was exactly what God desires to do through the body of Christ, through individuals, through the corporate anointing, and around the world. Listen, folks, if you think that being born again is something that is just a passing by experience, it's not. You are meant to be in a local body. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is." Don't alienate yourself from a local body. You need to be part of that local body. There's something that you bring to that local body that nobody else there has. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, we remember Ephesians chapter 4 because it talks about the ministry gifts, the pulpit ministries, or the leadership in the body of Christ. These are gifts given by God, not by man. You don't make yourself a gift. I can't make myself a spaceship just because I want to be a spaceship. I'm a human being. And you can't make yourself an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or teacher, but you can certainly be you. When the body of Christ finally realizes that the work of the ministry, and it's called work, yeah, sorry to disappoint some people, but when the body of Christ finally understands that the work of the ministry is to be done by the individual believer, and get our eyes off the ministry gifts and expect them to do all the work. You know, we expect the preacher to be the one that lays hands on the sick all the time. And he should, and she should. But what about you? You say, "I'm not in the pulpit ministry." Well, what does that have to do with it? If you're a believer, the Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If you're a believer, you'll cast out devils. I don't know that I can do that. I never went to Bible school. Where in the Bible does it say that only those who went to Bible school and believed could do these things? I'm here to tell you that you need to begin to see yourself as God sees you. And God doesn't see you as some nobody. God sees you as a somebody. Number two, members of the body of Christ follow Jesus as their head. Jesus is the head of the church. He's not here in physical flesh and blood body. He's seated at the right of the hand of the Father. He's been there for at least 2,000 years. And every day, we're closer to him coming back and getting the church. Well, we'll be caught up in the air. And you can read about that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Number 3, the body of Christ is the physical representation of Christ in the world. The church is the way that Christ manifests his life to the world today. The Bible says that the world doesn't understand or know the Holy Spirit. They can neither see him nor hear him. To the world, he convicts them of sin and draws them to Jesus. But the gospel is not preached through the donkeys. The gospel is not preached through the parrots. The gospel is preached by the body of Christ, individually, corporately. In fact, let me say this. It's wonderful for the pastor to give an altar call every Sunday, and he or she should do that. But what's wrong with people living in their homes at the grocery store? What's wrong with you leading someone to the body of Christ? You're anointed. You understand that? If you're in the body of Christ, you're in the body of the anointed one and his anointing. That means his anointing is there, available for you. There's a message I like to preach. It's called Ready, Set, Grow. People are so interested about growing and learning things and getting involved in ministry, but yet the things that are put before them many times, they ignore. They look past what God is doing, looking for something greater. And don't ever do that. God is all about the details. He's all about the details. He cares about every part of you. He's interested in the minutiae. The body today is individual. It's local. It's worldwide. It's past. It's present. And it's future. That's the body of Christ. Number 4, members of the body of Christ are indwelt by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Read that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Guess what? What makes you a member of the body is the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Glory to God. And you bring him with you wherever you go. The good, the bad, or as Clint Eastwood might say, the ugly. Whatever it is, you bring him with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that he's a deposit given to us. He's an earnest. He's a deposit given to represent something that our natural minds cannot even understand. Number 5, members of the body of Christ possess gifts suited to particular functions of the body. The body's a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and through all its parts are many, they all form one body. Every part of the body is different. You can rub against another cell, but those two cells are different. And Paul spends a great deal of time telling people, hey, if you're an elbow, don't try to be a knee. In fact, he says sometimes the parts of the body that aren't so comely are just as vital, or if not more vital, than the parts that look beautiful. When you look at a body, you only see what's on the outside. You don't see what's on the inside. But what's on the inside is just as much the body as what's on the outside. Amen. Here's the other point I want to make. Members of the body of Christ share a common bond with all other Christians, regardless of your background, your race, and ministry. There should never be division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. You may be the tongue in the Bible, body of Christ, but that doesn't mean you're any more important than your back. It's no more important. I mean, can you just imagine a tongue sitting on the floor talking without the rest of the body? Doesn't the body have to take itself to the place where the tongue needs to speak? Don't we all need each other? And yet, so many people are trying to pattern their lives after someone else. It's a disservice to the grace of God. God has graced you with abilities, talents, anointings that nobody else has. Instead of trying to be like somebody else, find out what God wants you to be and what God wants you to do. You'll be amazed. It'll change your whole outlook on life. Number 7. Members of the body of Christ are secure in their salvation. For a Christian to lose his salvation, God would have to perform an amputation on the body of Christ. Have you ever seen God amputate somebody in a church service? No. We're all secure in our salvation. Our salvation is not by works, but in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we heard the gospel, faith came. And we use that faith to enter into the grace of God, which is what produced the salvation in our lives. Number 8. Members of the body of Christ partake of Christ's death and resurrection. You know, the way to fully experience the anointing of God is when you've put your flesh down and you've stepped out in faith. Your physical body doesn't love to operate in faith. Your physical body wants to operate through your senses. Your soul has been patterned to work and makes decisions and entertain thoughts that are based on things that come from without rather than from things that are within. We're all too far more tied into the natural senses than we are necessarily tuned in to the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Number 9, members of the body of Christ share Christ's inheritance. If I'm a member of the body of Jesus Christ, I have the same inheritance that Jesus has. If you're not sure about that, go and read Romans 8:17. Go about and read a little bit in the book of Ephesians and Colossians and find out the richness of the treasures of Christ. Find out what the Bible says about you and begin to program and feed your spirit on the principles of God's word and cast down those thoughts that are contrary to doing the will of God. Number 10. Members of the body of Christ have received the gift of righteousness. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ. And so, because we're in Christ, we're in his body. We're in the body of Christ. And so, when we go back here and we read the scripture that we opened with today, where Jesus is telling us about the fact that we now are living in a body that was prepared for us. The body you're in was prepared for you. Young lady, stop saying that you're not beautiful. Stop saying that you're of no value because you're not the perfect supermodel shape that other people have. Listen, a body was prepared for you. And even greater than that, there is a body of Christ that desperately needs you to function and operate and be in fellowship with other members of that body. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." God has provided a body, the body of Christ, to have a tremendous impact on the earth. Well, if today, if this message has been a blessing to you, I'd sure love to hear from you. If you would like to, I'd love to hear from you. Please write to us at Church of the Harvest at P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida 33476.
It's Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at BreakoutPrayerNetwork.com or visit us at BPNRadio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.